The following is a question and answer session with His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 22, 2007, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
So the question is, what is Krishna consciousness and how did I get into it? Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. Krishna consciousness is the original natural energy of the living being. Just as a fish is naturally inclined to be in the water, the living entity is naturally inclined to be Krishna consciousness. Actually, a fish may be programmed to think that he's not a creature of the water. He may be given artificial amenities on the land, and he may be programmed to think that he doesn't belong in the water. But actually, he is naturally inclined to be in the water. So, the material society is running a very, very thorough and complete propaganda machine to convince everyone that they are their body and that the purpose of their existence is to gratify their senses. That's all.
And in a day and age where there's so many bad things happening, and you know, people, how can you like prove that God exists when you know there's
how we can prove that God exists? Well, before you talk about understanding the proof of God's existence, you first must understand what is the concept of God. If you don't know what is the concept of God, then what is the question of proving the existence of God?
What is the concept of God?
Everywhere we see, there are so many things. Just like now you're sitting in this cushion, isn't it? Here. So, that cushion, it is not self-manifested. Some cushion manufacturer has produced that cushion. And there are some natural ingredients there. There is cotton, or there are some synthetic fabrics produced by from petroleum to some chemical process. So then one can analyze, where did the cotton come from? Where did the petroleum come from? You can go, you start tracing it back. That thing came from something else, which came from something else, which came from something else. So finally you will get to that point. It is the origin. That is God. So, if you actually understand what is God, you don't need any proof. Because everyone can see that something doesn't come out of nothing. Do you have any experience of something coming from nothing? Show me one example of something coming from nothing. Yes. Yes, that's right. Everything comes from something. So that original something that doesn't come from something, that is God. Now do you understand what is God? So after you understand what is God, there's no need for proof. It is common sense. There must be God. There must be an origin. You say there is no origin, everything comes out of nothing. That is the most dogmatic leap of blind faith that anybody ever made in the world. The real dogmatic people are the atheists. The theists are intelligent, thoughtful people. The atheists are blind faith dogmatists, actually. Next question.
Going back to the Krishna consciousness movement, did you find it easier?
Yes. If someone is a new person and they say, what is your Hare Krishna philosophy all about? I tell them very simply, know who you are and be who you are. That's all. You simply have to know who you are. Now, is there anyone who would, any gentleman, any sane man or woman, who would not want to know who they are? You say, no, I don't want to know who I am. Don't tell me. No, I don't want to know who I am. Do you? Do you really know who you are? That's the question. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
Well, currently in the material world, I'm just Jyoti.
You're Jyoti?
Yeah.
I see. You know, you can go to a court of law, you can legally change your name.
Yeah.
So how that can be actually who you are, because that can be changed. You are a human being. I see. So how long you been a human being?
Since I was born, like 23 years.
I see. Before that, what were you?
I was nothing.
You were nothing. I see. You just popped out of the void, right?
So.
You just popped out of nothing. How did you come out of nothing? How you can scientifically explain that you can come out of nothing? Is there any logic behind that? Or is it just blind faith?
Then I'll probably have to explain
that. Huh? What is the logic of how you can come out of nothing?
That I can come out of nothing?
Yes.
Well, I didn't come out of nothing.
Oh, well, now you're contradicting yourself.
It's the birth process, basically.
Huh? Birth?
By birth.
By birth.
Yeah. You know,
so before you were born, you didn't exist?
Well, I don't recall existing before I was born. All I remember.
What's she saying?
She said, I do not recall.
That's another thing. What were you doing what were you doing at 1:15 on December 22nd, 2006? Yeah. Exactly at 1:15. What were you doing? Do you remember?
No.
So if you can't even remember 1 year ago, how can you remember 23 years ago? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that the reality is you don't really know who you are. I've proven it. You've contradicted yourself about who you really are. You've proven to me that you don't know who you are, that you've done that. Okay. So, if you want to remain in ignorance, you can do that. Or if you'd like to really know who you are, then we can enlighten you with that knowledge.
Please, sir.
Huh?
Please, sir. Please. Please do.
All right. It is a simple thing. It is a scientific process. Just like you can go to the laboratory and you can combine two parts of hydrogen with one part of oxygen. And what will you get if you did it properly according to the lab manual, under the guidance of the lab professor? You will get water in your test tube. That's a scientific fact, isn't it? Yes. So, you have a test tube. That is your consciousness. You are conscious, isn't it? Are you conscious?
Yep.
Okay.
I hope so.
You're conscious. That's right. So, if you will take the test tube of your consciousness and you will follow strictly what is given in the laboratory manual, if you will chant the holy names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and in a mood of love for that source of all existence, that supreme person who is emanating everything from himself, then you will actually see that person, you will meet that person, and you will realize everything about everything. Nothing will remain unknown to you. Gyanena tuttada gyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham madicham vajgyanam prakashayati tatpadam. Just like when the sun comes up in the morning here in Govinda Valley, everything becomes seen. So when you have that awakening within your heart by chanting the holy names of God with love, then you will see God within everything and everything within God. And you will see yourself in everything that exists. You will understand everything about everything. It is not dogma. It will be your own personal scientific experience. So now you do that. You make the experiment in the laboratory of your consciousness. The Shastra is there, the laboratory professor is there, the spiritual master. Now you follow the instructions, and then you will get the scientific result. Is that all right? Okay. All right.
We have heard about three yogas, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. What would you say, Maharaj, is the best of the three, or is the combination of two that one must practice?
Yeah. The best yoga is the one that gives you the results of all of them. If you have $1, that is has some worth. You can buy maybe one piece of fruit if you're lucky. You see. If you have $1,000, that also has the value of $1 in it. But it is 1,000 times more valuable. And if you have $1,000,000, you see, you still have the value of $1. But you have much, much more even than $1,000 value. So that yoga which includes within it the benefits of all the other yogas multiplied by thousands and thousands and thousands of times, that is known as the topmost yoga system. You see, that is the perfection of yoga. So that is called bhakti yoga. According to the great authority, Yogeshwar, the master of yoga, Lord Sri Krishna, all yoga systems actually emanate from him. You see, so he is the supreme authority of yoga. And he has described in the Bhagavad Gita that of all these yoga systems, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmana shajavan mujate yomang samayuta tamo mataha. Of all the yogis, the one who worships me with love, you see, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga. He is the highest of all. So if you will take the standard textbook from which the yoga systems have been given, and you will take that knowledge, and you will also experiment, you will see that this yoga surpasses all other yogas. Bhakti yoga. So now you do that. You take bhakti yoga as your life and soul. Surrender to Krishna. Is that all right?
Thank you very much for your valuable advice.
Hare Krishna.
Please thank Jyoti and Uma. It was difficult going first, so they've made it easy for everybody else. So if I can call up the Radhika group now. Very nice reporters. So we have.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I would just like to ask you, because I have done this Hare Krishna moment, and how would you explain to a layman the importance and meaning of Hare Krishna
Mahamantra? Yes. So, if a lay person says, what is the importance of Hare Krishna Mahamantra? I would explain that this mantra has the power to bring you to that state which is completely beyond all illusion and all anxiety. Yes.
So, how could you distinguish between these?
Yes. The material realm is that place which is full of anxiety and illusion. The spiritual world is that place where anxiety and illusion are conspicuous by their absence, where there is complete illumination and total complete bliss. Actually, we did not say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Krishna says. We are just reporters, that's all. Then why doesn't she listen to Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva says that Krishna is the Supreme. If she has faith in Lord Shiva, why doesn't she take Krishna Shiva's words? He incarnated as Shankaracharya, and he taught that Krishna is the Supreme. So, if she is such a great follower of Shiva, why doesn't she listen to Shiva? You have to give them this. You have to recite this, the authoritative shlokas. Explain to them. You have to give them the authoritative shlokas. Krishna directly reveals in Bhagavad Gita. Every Hindu accepts Bhagavad Gita. So why don't you quote Bhagavad Gita? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Why don't you quote the Bhagavatam, how Brahma is born from the expansion of the expansion of the expansion of Krishna, and from the forehead of Brahmaji, Lord Shiva is coming out. Why don't you explain the shastric descriptions to them? Yes. You can ask them, why do you smoke and why do you gamble? Yeah. Actually, they're doing it because they derive some taste, some pleasure, isn't it? Yeah. Are they doing it for money? Somebody's paying them to smoke? No. They're doing it because they derive some flavor, some rus from smoking, isn't it? Yeah. So, the goal then is to, they call it sometimes gusto. They go for the gusto. Get as much juice, as much nectar, as much gusto as you can possibly squeeze out of this life. So their goal is to enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. All right. So, my dear sir, if I can show you how to enjoy on a level which is millions and billions of times greater than what you're enjoying now, would you be interested?
Should advance in spiritual world, and at the same time we can advance materially?
Yes, yeah.
Like in our profession.
We would like all of our members to be to advance materially, because then they that will help our movement, and they can contribute. They can contribute in a more powerful way. If we have, you know, if we have some, let's say we had 500 multi-billionaires who were members of ISKCON. Just imagine how that could help us grow. Just imagine if every billboard in Australia was promoting Krishna consciousness. We could buy the billboard companies, and every billboard was promoting Krishna consciousness instead of sex life and intoxication and gambling. You see? So we have no. We would like very much if we had 50 multi-billionaires in Australia who were Krishna conscious. It'd be great.
Could you please give us some tips on like how to give up your like? On one end, we say we have to advance in our material world as well as we advance in our spiritual life. But do we really have to give up our material desires?
It's a very simple thing. You simply have to offer everything to Krishna. If someone desires to be a millionaire, that's all right. But they should desire to make $1 million for Krishna, not for their own sense enjoyment. And they have to actually give it to Krishna. Not like that gambler. You know that gambler in South India? He was very fond of betting on the horses. So he was also a religious man. So he would go to Tirupati, you know, Balaji. And he would say, "My dear Lord, I'm betting on this horse. And if he wins," see, the prize was like 40,000 rupees or something. He said, "If he wins, I will give you 20,000 rupees." So his horse didn't win. But his horse came in second place. And he won 20,000 rupees. You see. So he went back to Balaji and said, "My dear Lord, you didn't trust me. You already took your half." So we should not be like that. But yes, my dear Lord, I will please make me a millionaire, and I'll give you. And then you only make $500,000, so you keep every penny for yourself. But not like them. 50% you must give. You see, you give 50% of your wealth, at least. Krishna service. Become very wealthy and give at least 50% of your wealth. And then that is a very good formula. You see. That is purifying of your attachment.
Thank you very much for your time and precious information. So maybe as a reporter, I think I'll write all the reports about Krishna consciousness in my newspaper tomorrow.
Very good.
So we're going well, two groups. If we can bring the reporters from the super group up now, so the group of three. So we have three groups combined into one. They have got their questions ready. So if we could have the reporters from the
question. Well, first of all, what you just said sounds like a lie. I don't accept it as truth. It's obvious you're lying. Therefore, all right, next question. Why should you follow our process? Well, it's really up to you. I don't say you have to follow our process. What do you want? Would you like an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, or a temporary existence full of illusion and misery? What would you prefer? Tell me. All right. Then you follow this process.
Then how can we guarantee that if we follow everything that your process prescribes, we actually do go back to God? What's the proof?
What's the proof? I have a guarantee. I will personally guarantee it. If you will follow this process strictly for at least 6 months, to the letter of everything I tell you to do, precisely, you will strictly follow my instructions for 6 months, and you don't find that you're the happiest person you ever thought you could be, I'll personally give you $10,000 cash.
Does that mean to understand God, I have to be a Hare Krishna? We have to be a Hare Krishna.
Really?
That's the question. Do we have to be Hare Krishna?
We never say that. This is not some cult. If you want to understand God, you must become a pure lover of God, that's all. We never say that only a member of the Hare Krishna movement can realize God. We never say that. You have to become a pure lover of God. Ahaitaki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Completely free from all material motivation. 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Every thought, every word, every deed, perfectly dovetailed in the Lord's service. If you can do that as a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim, then you're a first-class realized person. We never say you have to be a Hare Krishna. If you have another way of doing it, great, go for it. But if you don't have a system that can get you your every thought, word, and deed perfectly dovetailed in the Lord's service in all times, all places, and all circumstances, then come on over. We have a program where we can teach you how to do that. Why not?
In your Bhagavad Gita, it says that...
The one last word I missed. Why not?
Why can't I talk with him?
Oh, you can. You can, but he's choosy who he's willing to converse with. You have to qualify yourself. If you have an arrogant attitude, he's not going to talk with you. You have to be completely humble, and then God will talk to you. He will even walk with you. You know this Sakshi Gopal, he walked all the way across India just because that Brahmin made a promise in his presence. So you have to stop being such a nonsense rascal. Become a humble devotee of God, and then he will talk with you 24 hours a day. Prabhupada personally told me. He said, you simply engage in the 24 hours a day in the Lord's service with the full sincerity of attitude, and Krishna will personally come and answer every question you have. Prabhupada guaranteed to me personally.
Okay. Next question is, it's prescribed in your process to be vegetarian, and you've got a reason for that. In Australia and in most Western countries, not only they raise cows for two reasons. One is to slaughter them and sell meat. And the second reason is for dairy, for milk, dairy products. But even in the dairy industry, they treat the cows just as much as they do in the slaughtering industry. So why do you still advocate drinking milk when the cows are treated so badly and tortured for milk here?
What is the question?
The question is that you promote vegetarianism.
Yeah.
But in the Western countries, they raise cattle just for beef or dairy products.
There are a train going by right now? Yeah. I have to wait for the train to go by and so I can hear. All right, now let's try again. Yeah,
as much as they are slaughtering the cows.
Yeah, they kill them also. So what's the question?
Well, the question is, even to get milk off the cows, they torture the cows a lot.
Yeah.
But still, you don't raise a voice against.
You don't raise a voice against it.
Against.
You don't. Animals. I'm complaining about it all the time. Actually, we're not interested in veganism or vegetarianism. We're simply interested to do that which is pleasing to God. That's all. Do you think by being a vegetarian or a vegan that you'll become spiritually perfect?
No, but in your process.
So, then neither of them is very important. The most important thing is to see how you can get out of this cycle of birth and death and regain your eternal identity in the spiritual world. That's important. That's valuable. Veganism or vegetarianism, neither of them will liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. So why be hung up in becoming, should I be vegan, should I be vegetarian? Neither position is any good, actually. You think vegetarians are going back to God? No. You think vegan? No. The only way you can qualify to go out back to the original position in the kingdom of God is to become a pure lover of God. That's it. So why don't you get focused on the real thing instead of being carried away by all these side issues? That's my question.
The next question is, in your philosophy it says that all souls are qualitatively same, equal.
Yeah.
Then why is it that some people are given more respect, like the gurus are given more respect than the others?
Is it a fact? Do you respect gurus more than you respect others?
Yeah, that's what the perception is from.
Do you respect gurus more than you respect others?
Oh, well, I'm an atheist in the world, but I don't respect anybody. But
so what's the question?
So if all souls are the same, why are some treated more respect than the others?
Actually, our position is, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihashtani Shunni chaiva sapake cha pandita samadarshinaha. Our position is actually to respect everyone equally. I don't know where you've gotten your philosophy from. Our Krishna says that the learned person, he has equal respect for all living beings. So I don't know where you're getting this from. It's not from the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone bows down. I walk so many places and hardly anyone bows down. So I don't see that everyone is bowing down to the spiritual master. Where do you see that everyone is bowing down to this? Anyone have an experience that they ever saw everyone is bowing down to the spirit? I hope someday it'll happen. So, next question.
Why is it that all the incarnations of Krishna, all of them come only from India?
All the incarnations of Krishna coming in from India.
This is a material conception. Actually, Prabhupada clearly explains, it's not that Krishna only appears on Indian soil. Do you think he has some visa restriction? He doesn't depend on these rascal governments. He doesn't have to worry about carrying an Indian passport. Next question.
Okay, like in one of your epics, like Ramayana, the central character of God is Rama, and his wife does everything in her power to be true and faithful to him, and yet he leaves her up. Why is that?
Sita?
So
that is external show only, actually. He never gives up. That is some lila just for rasa. But actually, he never gives up. I can give up Sita. He never gives up Sita. That is an external show only to make some drama. Most of what?
Sentimental.
Most of my people? Our people?
People.
Sentimental?
Yeah. But if you come from the Salvation Army or anything like that, they are the ones who really work for the poor people, and they do for something for the people they can see, and you people just dance and music for the God you can't see. So what's the philosophy behind that?
You are only dancing and chanting for the God that you are. People like Salvation Army, they are doing work for the people, poor people, giving them food.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing.
So what's the question?
So what's the use? Like, God you can't see, you know, but people you can see, so it's better to serve people.
What's the question?
God you can see. God you cannot see why you are doing service for God. People you can see, you are not doing anything for them.
You cannot see God, but we can see God. You do not see God, but we see God. That's the difference. We can see, but you cannot see. That is the difference. You're saying that I can see the poor people, so I will speed them, but you're dancing for a God that you cannot see. You cannot see, but we can see. We are seeing God, and therefore we are serving Him. But you are not seeing because you are envious. Therefore you are not seeing. We are not envious, therefore we can see God. Therefore, we are serving that person that we can see.
But the thing is, I know it looks good, but how do you see God? It's against
envy. By becoming non-envious. So give up your envy and you will also see God. That depends if they're envious or not. Those who are non-envious, they can see God.
Does that mean you can see God?
So he's asking, if a non-envious can see God, does that mean that you can see God? So, if I tell you, will you trust my answer? You will have complete faith that I'm not lying? So you're not envious. If I tell you that I can see God, you wouldn't be envious.
I'd be more curious than envious.
Huh?
I'd be more curious than envious.
More curious than envious.
You're curious. I see. Just as God does not reveal Himself to the envious persons, those persons who can see God do not reveal their realizations to those who are envious. Sadhu, that you do not require.
Of it.
the next group, thank you to Govinda, Hari, Prabhu, Tita and Raj. The next group we'll call up for some questions is the Gokuls. So we have Sunil and
Prabhash.
Prabhash. You've got to keep it tight, right in the mouth.
If you put it away from the mouth, I can hear it easier. You put it too close and it makes an echo that makes it where I can't hear it. So, Hare Krishna is the ultimate way to greet someone or to bid them farewell. Yes, we say goodbye, hello. Actually, this goodbye, it is a modification. Originally, it was, may God be with you. But they originally shortened it to goodbye. You see, it was, may God be with you. So the real meaning of greeting someone or wishing them well is to say, may God be with you. May you have God present in your heart. May you always remember him in this way. That is the real way to bid someone farewell. To farewell means to do well, and the only way you can really do well is to be connected with God. So formally they say, may God be with you, you see. So the real Hare Krishna is the real way to greet someone or to bid them farewell, you see. You're getting back to the original human culture, away from this insane, you know, so-called human culture. Hare Krishna. Actually, it's funny, but in our movement now, we hear Hari Bol. Prabhupada hardly ever said Hari Bol. He always said Hare Krishna. So I one time went to a festival and I was just noticing everyone said, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Of course, and I'm not criticizing, but I was wondering, is this the Hari Bol movement or the Hare Krishna movement? You see. So actually, there's nothing wrong, Hari Bol. I mean, what does it mean? It means chant Hare Krishna. That's what it means. Chant the name of Krishna, Hari Bol. So if someone says Hari Bol to me, they're telling me to chant the name of Krishna. So the response would be, Hare Krishna. Someone says Hari Bol, they're telling you, chant the name of Hari. All right, I surrender. Hare Krishna. Someone says chant the name of Hari, and you go, well, Hari Bol. You're both telling each other to chant Hare Krishna. Why don't you just, at least one of you, say Hare Krishna.
Krishna is always seen with Mata Radhavani. However, Mata Radhavani never married Krishna. So how can in that age, in Dwapar, when he came, when there so much restrictions were there about the marriage, and particularly with the wives, how is it possible that the society accepted Mata Radhavani with Krishna, not Rukmani with Krishna? So what is the position of Mata Radhavani?
For one who has actually realized God, there is no question of the convention of marriage. Radharani, she is Ladini Shakti. She is the energy of Krishna. She is emanating from his body. When Krishna wants to enjoy, he expands from himself, Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. You see, that marriage institution, that is for us, to help us to regulate our senses. But with Krishna, there is no question of having to regulate his senses. His senses are meant to enjoy everything. Well, our senses are meant to Rishikena, Rishikena, Sevanam. Our senses are meant to serve the master of the senses. But his senses are meant to simply enjoy everything. So there's no question that he has to restrict his enjoyment through the marriage vows. Simply a matter of philosophical understanding. They say, oh, Krishna is immoral because he was dancing with other men's wives. But actually, my dear sir, you're immoral because you think that woman is your wife. She is Krishna's property, and you are falsely claiming this woman belongs to me. Therefore, you are a rascal and you are a thief. All the women belong to Krishna. Why only Radharani? Every woman is the property of Krishna and meant to be enjoyed by Krishna and Krishna alone. So do not claim that this woman is my wife, that she is for my enjoyment. No. You are meant to engage her in Krishna's service.
What kind of feeling you have got about the God means me? People say when they are devotee, they can feel something. Do you have any example where you can say, well, this is the example I can give you that I felt somehow the presence of God, whether he saved you or whether he took you out of some dangerous situation or something like that. Do you have any example of your life?
Not how I feel about God? Krishna is simply wonderful. He gave me Prabhupada. That's all.
I have another question. People say that we have Satyug, then Treta, Dwapar, then Kali. Mm-hmm. Again, we go back to Satyug. Mm-hmm. So when we have all the cycles all the time, then there will be always people there. If everybody goes back to Lord Krishna's mm-hmm. Gokul Lok, then why we have all those cases there? Why we have Satyug?
Because there's new people coming. There's always souls falling down from the spiritual world.
But doesn't that say that Atma never dies? We are always there, whether we are here or there. We are always there. Doesn't that say?
Yes, but there's the sleep state where you dream that you're somewhere else. There's the dream state. Actually, everyone is. They are dreaming, that's all. They are the God, therefore they enter into this dreamlike world, the world of birth and death. Actually, the soul never dies, never is born. But in his dream state, he identifies with this illusory existence. It has a reality, but it's not what it appears to be. He thinks, I am this earth, water, fire, air, and ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. That is dream only. Actually, he's an eternal spiritual being. But he's falsely thinking himself to be this material body.
Quick question there. There are so many scientists and learned persons who claim and who propagate that, you know, there is nothing like spirit.
Nothing like what?
The spirit.
Spirit, okay.
Life, or there is no other life which we call as.
Yes, yes.
So how do you go on to prove that, you know, prove them wrong or
So the scientist wants to say that there is nothing beyond this material existence. So how expertly do they understand this material existence? That's my question. I one time was giving, actually I attended one seminar at a university in the United States, at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. There was one big scientist, he was coming to tell us about the black holes in outer space. And I asked him a question at the end of his presentation. I said, my dear sir, is what you're speaking a theory or is it a fact? And he said, I think it's a fact. Not the word I think. And then some others asked questions. And then I got another chance to ask him another question. I said, my dear sir, we have seen throughout the history of science that one theory, it becomes popular for some time. And then it is replaced by another theory. So how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. So, if that is the position of a scientist. They actually admit they don't know what they're talking about, but they pretend like they know they're talking about, so they can get big money from the government, they can get Nobel Prize, etc., etc., etc. Actually, they know they don't really know what they're talking about. So if you want to follow their pathway, good luck. You'll need it.
Yeah, but the last question is, there's a belief in India that Krishna is basically incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Now, my question is, if Krishna is incarnation of Lord Vishnu, should we not worship Lord Vishnu than Krishna?
Do you think there's some difference between Vishnu and Krishna?
If there's no difference, then if somebody is telling you are coming out of something, then we should worship the source, not something which has come out.
But do you think Krishna is not Vishnu?
Well, I think if their name is Ram, Krishna or Vishnu, then if I say Ram has come out from Vishnu, Krishna has come out from Vishnu, then why should we say...
But don't you realize there's two categories of living beings? There's Jiva Tattva and Vishnu Tattva. So which category is Krishna? Is he Jiva Tattva or Vishnu Tattva? Yeah. Therefore, we are called, the Krishnites are known as Vaishnavas. They are devotees of Vishnu. So, there are different rasas, that's all. When God is at home, he is called Krishna. When he is at the office, he is called Vishnu. He's the same person. Why are you making distinction?
So, there is no difference actually.
The same person. But where would you rather have your relationship? At the office or at home? That's your choice.
Well, at home I have got Rama also, so I should say, well, Ram and Krishna.
But yeah, when he's on the throne, he's Ram. Yeah. God on the throne, that is Ram. God in the office doing all the management, that is Vishnu. And God at home having his intimate pastimes with his closest associates, that is Krishna. And that is the original form. That is the most lovable form.
Prabhu, before we end up the interview, could you focus a little on your personal life? We don't know much about
personal
you.
Life.
Yeah.
You think I have some private life? So, what is your question?
Background.
Huh?
Background. Before becoming a devotee.
Yeah, before becoming
a devotee. Yes. Actually, I was a youth who could not tolerate the world situation. I thought I must dedicate my life for making a revolution on this planet. There must be a spiritual revolution on this planet. So I was trying to figure out how to do that, and I couldn't figure it out. But then I found out that Prabhupada was already doing it, and he knew what he was doing, so I decided to help him. Next question.
Personal darshans, we have 10 people who have put their name down. So the personal darshans will happen after prasadam, so after lunch, and they'll be in the room to my left. So if you go outside this building and just keep going down, you'll come to a set of doors And Steve Prabhu will be there. Steve has got the names, and he will allocate your times during prasadam. So everyone will have 10 to 15 minutes to ask some questions. So there'll be more on that soon. So this is our last group of reporters. We're a little bit over time, but that's all right. So I'll hand it over to our two reporters. Hare Krishna.
As a reporter, I can just think of asking that in this real-time scenario, we have been seeing so many movements coming on, going on. As a young fellow, I have also seen ISKCON. Okay, how people and why one should think that ISKCON or Hare Krishna movement is one of the perfect path of things. As unlike that, I have seen many other things, many other Bhagavad Gita's authors and others. So what makes a person to think that this ISKCON movement is the proper and an absolute movement to this?
Time will tell. Now, someone coming into the self-realization, you know, who wants, they may see, well, there's this movement, there's that movement, how will I know? Well, I can guarantee you that in course of time, it will be seen that all these other movements, they came and they went. But this Krishna consciousness movement, according to the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, will successfully establish a peaceful, unified world civilization. In due course of time, it will absolutely be proven.
Means if I am going to tell some person or my colleague or friend that, yeah, come on, and we will going to learn something in this ISKCON, we are going to realize life and everything. So the question, why I should go only for ISKCON? Why not some other thing when they have?
No, 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 no. So we are not a cult. We are not based on some sentimentalism or cultism. This is a misunderstanding. Try to understand the knowledge, you see. We want people to, we're not asking people to convert from to this religion. This is not another religion. This is a big misconception. Come join our religion. No. We are presenting Raja Vidya. We are presenting the most high level understanding of reality. Anyone who actually takes the time and the trouble to study carefully this philosophy will indeed be impressed that this is the highest knowledge anywhere. So we don't ask people to come and blindly join our religion. That is not our program. Try to understand this knowledge. And if you do, then you will naturally want to associate with other people who also understand this knowledge. That's all. And those people who understand and realize this knowledge, they have come together in the society named the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But we don't come to this movement out of some cult fever, no. We come here because the knowledge has enlightened us, and therefore we associate on the basis of that knowledge.
One more question which confuses me when I think about that. Why this universe is hanging around? Why there is a creation of a spiritual world? Why there was a creation of this material world? Why we need to do all these things? What was the reason, any reason which I am not understanding? Why this has come up? Because we have to close it down again. We are taking birth and we are dying again. So we should cross out that cycle. So why this has been happening?
Why there is a creation of spiritual and material world?
Everything is perfectly arranged by God to bring you back to His kingdom. That's all.
That's what. Why He is come and voice that kingdom? Like we are all doing something. Sometimes we feel we are controlling ourselves. Sometimes it is something.
Sometimes you think you're controlling yourself. Yeah, that is your illusion. You are being controlled by the material nature completely. So now you have the choice. You can come out of the control of the material nature and become completely free, liberated from the laws of birth and death. So you have a choice. Do you want to remain a slave of birth and death, or you'd like to become a liberated soul? Your choice. You take your pick. You decide.
In Islam, they practice a process where a devotee gets initiated from a spiritual master, and the process of liberation starts from there. Is it a must that everybody should have a spiritual master, or if I don't come to Islam at all, but I still read the books, I get liberation?
So does everyone need a guru? That's the question. Actually, guru is required. That is confirmed in innumerable places in the Vedic wisdom. Tasmad gurum prapadye cha jigyashu shaya uttamam. If you want to actually achieve the supreme benefit, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master through the process known as diksha, initiation. Tad viganartam sagurum eva vikatschat. You must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master if you want to realize the absolute truth. It is stated again and again. Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tata ishe tasyaite katita yata prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. If you think that you can directly approach God, and of course people do directly pray to God, but if you directly approach God to ask Him, how can I become perfect, my dear Lord? You know what He will do? He will guide you to the spiritual master. Krishna will send you to the Guru. And if you go to Guru, He will send you to Krishna. They are working together. They are a transcendental team. If you actually sincerely bow down before God and ask Him. I have had that experience. Many people were sincerely wanting to realize God and they prayed, "Dear God, please guide me. I need Your guidance." And they came, they went on the internet and they found my website. You see? So if you really are looking to realize God and you sincerely pray to Him, that happened to me also. I was praying, "God, please guide me, how I can become Your perfect servant." And then He sent a disciple of Prabhupada, one to my very neighborhood where I was living. As soon as I prayed like that, immediately, from a great distance, came one follower of Prabhupada to teach me what is the actual means of surrendering to God. So if you are very sincere to actually surrender yourself to God, then He will send the spiritual master to you. And if you are sincere, then you will understand that yes, the Lord has sent me Guru, now I will hear from Guru and I will surrender to Guru so that I can become the perfect servant of God under His expert guidance. Hare Krishna.
Please thank His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu for answering all those questions.